Father, I lift our hearts up this morning. We are overwhelmed with the insensitivity of our own hearts to your Spirit, Lord.
Yes, amen.
And we just declare to you our absolute need deep within our beings to be sensitive to your Spirit in this hour, that we might find ourselves under the shelter of your wings, Lord. Not in some doctrinal way, but in the realm of life, Lord. That we would find favor with you, as your word declares, Noah found grace in your eyes, Lord. In the day of devastation that came upon the earth in his day, he found grace in you to hear your words and to move in obedience. And his obedience became the salvation of him and his family, Lord. And we cry out to you today, for we just recognize we see through a glass so darkly, and we ask, Lord, for you to anoint our eyes that we could see and respond with the clarity and purity of heart. And we just commit each one here to the grace of your Spirit, that you would unveil not only what's coming, but that you would unveil to us yourself in all the glory and the wonder of all that you are, Lord. And we just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the midst of our own frailty, there is one who stands on our behalf, that has made the covenant in himself and is making that covenant. What is that covenant? The covenant, the church considers the covenant just this blanket thing where he died for us, we're forgiven, there's the covenant. But the real covenant is with those when Jesus said, if any man will deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. That's where his people finish the covenant that he made. They are agreeing to the covenant. They are participating in the covenant. They're not sitting somewhere on a pew going, oh, well, I'm forgiven. They've realized that this thing called eternal life is a relationship that involves our participation. And so in all of that, in the transpiring of what these two scriptures I'm going to read today, these two sections of scriptures, God is actively at work seeking those. We have to realize something that is always a fearful thing to me. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for someone. Says in one place in Isaiah, I looked for a man who would intercede on behalf of this nation, and I didn't find one. God is ever looking not for adherents. He's looking for those who can feel his thoughts in the day they live. I mean, you read the book of Habakkuk, and he's going, God, why do you cause me to see things? And you don't do anything. There's this relationship between those that are his and him. There is this interaction of heart that goes beyond the doctrinal statements of life, that go beyond the nice teachings we have in our day. There is an interaction, a place where the deep in God begins to move the deep in us, where we can't articulate in words the things we feel. And what does it say in Romans 8 there? With groanings, which cannot be uttered. These are things far deeper than the mere words of men. These are spiritual feelings that come because of relationship, not because we have a great knowledge of the scriptures. There is something intrinsic within those who have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace, and what happened? What did that grace produce? It produced a participation of Noah in the things that were coming. There was something far beyond the context of, oh yeah, yeah, there's a storm coming. It says, by faith, Noah was moved with fear. People in our day, oh, you can't associate faith and fear. Oh, yes, you can, if you have the true faith. It says, Noah was warned of God of things not yet seen. He comprehended by faith. He could see the thing that was coming, and it produced within him something in the realm of works. Faith without works is dead. There is an enormity in the realm of faith that has life in it. It has a pulse. It produces the thing that's in God is produced in man. I like the phrase in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith we understand. Well, faith is the faculty to see the purposes of God. Most Christians today live without purpose. They don't know what their call is. They don't comprehend the enormity of the fact that God has something very specific for each one of his people. And that specific expression that God has called us to can only be comprehended by relationship with him. Most Christians go their whole life without knowing their call. And that is a tragedy. And that is the failure of ministry. When ministry so produces a people that have no passion to know what their specific call is, ministry has misrepresented God in the earth. Anyway, just going to give a very, very brief glimpse of all that is coming upon us in this day and the enormity of it. I pray by the Spirit of God that the enormity of it would lay hold of my heart. So anyway, this is Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night. There's significance in the vision by night. And behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Book of Revelation tells us that the sea is represents the people of the earth. The great sea that gets whipped up into great storms, foaming out their own shame, as it says in Jude. And these winds are blowing and striving upon this great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. And it hit me one day that the reason these four beasts are manifested is because God is striving on the sea to bring them forth. These beasts are spiritual entities that prefer to remain hidden. As the word declares in New Testament, whatsoever is brought to light is made manifest. So the reason these beasts are rising, The reason this last beast is arising in our day is because God is bringing it to light. There's no stopping what's coming. God has determined it. God has caused his winds to blow, and these beasts must arise that they may be judged in their fullness for their works and the horror of the perversity that is in them. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. There's so much in this, but if you don't have discernment, if I don't have discernment, you may see parts of one of the beasts, but you won't see the others. Discernment is a critical issue in this hour. These beasts are diverse from one another. We're not going to be able to doctrinally discern these things and their movings in the church as well as in the world unless we are in relationship with him. The first was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This is a spiritual entity, and what did God do? He made it become manifest in the earth. These wicked things that are in the spirit, God, in his striving upon the sea, makes them manifest in the governments of the world, in the rulership of the world. He makes them come out of the spirit and become manifest here. He does that because he's going to judge these things here. We read in the garden when God pronounced his judgment on the serpent. The serpent was a spiritual being. I can show you in the word that he was one of the five cherubs. He was the anointed cherub over the other four. And what was his judgment? That he would crawl on his belly in the earth. God is making manifest spiritual entities in earthly manifestations so that he can judge them here. For this is where their perversity has produced the horror of all that we're seeing. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. These spirits come to destroy the crowning creation of God, and that's man. If you read the poems of the Russian guy, demonic, he had purposed in his heart to kill as many people as possible. And these men are partakers of spiritual entities, spirits of wickedness, spirits of murder and lust and all that is bound up in it. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. There's just so much here. Anyway, I'm going to continue on. After this, after these three beasts, this is where we need to pay attention. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, as if these others aren't, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Once again, we see this last beast brought into the realm of the natural. Were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now we go to Book of Revelation. John sees this fourth beast. And there's, if anybody knows even a brief history of the first three beasts, which have been in the world and attributes of them still are, John sees the fourth beast. And read what John says about this fourth beast. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. What did Daniel see? These beasts come out of humanity. They come, these beasts, these entities, these expressions of wickedness arise as the four winds of God strive upon the sea, bringing forth their manifestation. They don't want to be manifested. They want to destroy behind the scenes. Satan ever works in secret. His weapons are fear, terror, shame, all of the, what is his weapon against the body of Christ? Condemnation. You're not good enough. You're this, you're that. His work is ever hidden and disguised. But God is bringing these things to pass. We got all these Christians trying to stop it. They can't stop it. There's no stopping the purposes of God. But we can be informed of His Spirit. We can hear His words to us. We can respond and participate in His deliverance for ourselves. Spiritually, it's going to take everything you and I have to stand true in the hour that's about to break. And if we come into that Psalm 91 relationship where we abide under the shelter of His wings, we will stand in a way that men will know it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit in us, enabling us to stand when no man can stand. Anyway, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. The same horns that Daniel saw concerning the fourth beast. These are significant things. And upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And I saw the beast, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, the feet of a bear, and the mouth of a lion. The three beasts that Daniel saw, each one of them had one of these attributes. The fourth beast is the culmination of the first three. And there are no words to describe the suffering the people of God endured under each one of the first three beasts. There are no words to describe. You can find it on the internet. But the fourth beast is the culmination. It is the fullness of the first three beasts. And parts of it are bound up. And Daniel says that the fourth beast was unlike anything of the first three beasts. And it's true. You take sodium and chloride, both poisons, and you combine the two together, you end up with salt. You end up with something that doesn't resemble the elements. Nothing, it doesn't have any of the properties because it's a whole new thing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Anything that is in this wicked spirit is going to be the fullness. Paul in Timothy and the Greek theologians recognize where Paul is writing to Timothy, and then all of a sudden, I think it's chapter 4, he just breaks off and he says, know this, that in the last days it'll be perilous. Men will do this and this and this. And they said, even in the Greek, you just realize he was caught up in the spirit of revelation concerning our day. And whatever they were facing in their day is nothing compared to what we are going to face in the day that is dawning now. And we have to recognize that these things don't just pop out of the sea, they arise. And there is a unity happening in the world. There is a unity and a conspiracy against the Lord and His anointed. Read Psalm 2. This is nothing new. If someone can read Psalm 2, well, I mean, it's a very short psalm. But if someone has their Bible there to read Psalm 2, this is a prophetic word for our day. It's a prophetic word to whatever day the people of God have found themselves. But in our day, it's coming to the fullness. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and why did people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Do we not hear that today? Do we not hear that in every place we go? We hear that voice saying, we got to get rid of these values. We got to get rid of this light that prevents us and holds back all that's in our hearts. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Listen to God's word that will be coming, the word of the people of God. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The Psalms carry the prophetic word for our day. David, when he spoke of Jerusalem, he wasn't speaking of this earthly Jerusalem. You listen to the one psalm where he's describing the wonder of her palaces and the columns, and he's just overwhelmed. He's seeing the new Jerusalem. Abraham looked for a city, and may that city be the destination of our own hearts. We don't seek anything here. We are a people who are pilgrims because we have seen the King of Kings and the city that He has called us to. And I just, anyway, I got to finish this last verse in the book of Revelation. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his authority. Notice the word his. This thing becomes a singular expression in the earth. As there is only one church, there is only one Babylon. There's a city of Babylon, but there is the whole world comes under the dominion of the harlot. And she'll speak good things. She'll speak perverse things. And if we don't have ears to hear, we will be captured by the enchantment of her wiles and her deceiving power. Anyway, this is just a brief understanding of the hour we're coming to and how few there are out there that see. If you see, you can't help but warn others. Those who see comprehend what's coming, and they don't speak frivolity to the people of God. They are a people. Paul says, I therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, persuade men. If you don't know the terror of the Lord, you can't persuade men. You don't have it in you. There is an unction that comes with seeing. A few years ago, the Lord gave me a word. They that bear his word have to bear his reproach. And the word that God produces in his people. You won't be popular, but I trust that we'll be blessed of him, and that when our earthly journey is over, I don't want to be one that the Lord says, well believed. The words we want to hear most from him is, well done, thou good and faithful servant.